who had finally managed to stay put. "Yes!" Taylor shouted. In my head, I said, "You're going down, Jewel." "Yes," I said out loud. I leaned forward and used both of my hands to give her a hard push. She swayed to the side but stayed on and said, "Hey!" I smiled. "Hey," I said, and pushed her again. Taylor narrowed her eyes and pushed me back, hard, but not hard enough. Then we were both pushing at each other, only this time it was so much easier because I felt steady. I pushed her once, firmly, and she tipped forward, but Jeremiah was still standing. I clapped loudly. This was pretty fun. I was surprised when Conrad held out his hand for a high five. He wasn't a high-five kind of person. When Taylor resurfaced this time, she wasn't laughing. Her blonde hair was matted to her head, and she said, "This game sucks. I don't want to play anymore." "Sore loser," I said, and Conrad lowered me into the water. "Nice job," he said, giving me one of his rare smiles. I felt like I had won the lottery from that one smile. "I play to win," I told him. I knew he did too. Chapter 17. A few days after we shared Twizzlers at the movies, Jeremiah announced, "I'm gonna teach Belly how to drive stick shift today." "Do you mean it?" I said eagerly. It was a clear day, the first all week. A perfect day for driving. It was Jeremiah's day off, and I couldn't believe he was willing to spend it teaching me how to drive stick. I'd been begging him since last year to teach me. Stephen had tried and had given up after our third lesson. Stephen shook his head and took a swig of orange juice from the carton on the table. "Do you want to die, man? Because Belly will kill you both, not to mention your clutch. Don't do it! I'm telling you this as your friend." "Shut up, Stephen," I yelled, kicking him under the table. "Just 'cause you're a terrible teacher." Stephen had refused to get into a car with me again after I'd accidentally gotten a teeny tiny dent in his fender when he was teaching me how to parallel park. "I'm confident in my teaching skills," Jeremiah said. "By the time I'm finished with her, she'll be better than you." Stephen snorted. "Good luck." Then he frowned. "How long are you going to be gone? I thought we were going to the driving range." "You could come with us," I offered. Stephen ignored me and said to Jeremiah, "You need to practice your swing, dude." I glanced at Jeremiah, who looked at me and hesitated. "I'll be back by lunch. We can go after," he said. Stephen rolled his eyes. "Fine." I could tell he was annoyed. And a little hurt, which made me feel both smug and sorry for him. He wasn't used to being left out of things the way I was. We went out to practice on the road that led down to the other side of the beach. It was quiet. There was no one else out on the road. Just us. We listened to Jeremiah's old Nevermind CD from a million years ago. "It's hot when a girl can drive stick," Jeremiah explained above Kurt Cobain. "It shows she's confident. She knows what she's doing." I put the car into first gear and eased my foot off the clutch. I thought boys liked it when girls were helpless. They like that too. But I just happen to prefer smart, confident girls. "Bull, you liked Taylor, and she's not like that." He groaned and stuck his arm out the window.
"Do you have to bring that up again?"
"I'm just saying, she wasn't that smart and confident."
"Maybe not, but she definitely knew what she was doing," he said before exploding into laughter.
I hit him on the arm, hard. "You're so gross," I said, "and you're also a liar. I know for a fact that you guys didn't even get to second." He stopped laughing.
"Okay, fine." "We didn't. But she was a good kisser. She tasted like Skittles."
Taylor loved Skittles. She was always popping them into her mouth, like vitamins, like they were good for her. I wondered how I'd stacked up against Taylor. If he thought I'd been a good kisser, too. I sneaked a peek at him, and he must have seen it on my face because he laughed and said, "But you were the best, Bells." I punched him on the arm, and even then he didn't stop laughing. He just laughed harder. "Don't take your foot off the clutch," he said, gasping with laughter. I was kind of surprised he even remembered. I mean, it had been memorable for me, but it had been my first kiss, and it had been Jeremiah. But the fact that he remembered? That sort of made his laughing okay. "You were my first kiss," I said. I felt like I could say anything to him at that moment. It felt like how it used to be with us before we grew up and things got complicated. It felt easy and friendly and normal. He looked away, embarrassed.
"Yeah, I know."
"How did you know?" I demanded. Had I been that awful at kissing that he'd suspected? How humiliating.
Taylor told me. Afterward.
What? I can't believe she did that! That Judas! I almost stopped the car. Actually, I could believe it. But it still felt like a betrayal.
"It's no big deal."
But his cheeks were patchy and pink.
"I mean, the first time I kissed a girl was a joke. She kept telling me I was doing it wrong."
"Who? Who was your first kiss?"
"You don't know her. It doesn't matter."
"Come on," I wheedled. "Tell me." We stalled out then, and Jeremiah said,
"Just put your foot on the clutch and put it in neutral. Not until you tell me."
"Fine."
"It was Christy Turnduck," he said, ducking his head.
"You kissed Turducken?" Now I was laughing. I did so know Christy Turnduck. She used to be a Cousins Beach regular just like us, only she lived there year-round.
"She had a big crush on me,"
Jeremiah said, shrugging his shoulders. "Did you tell Con and Steven?"
"Hell no! I didn't tell them I kissed Turducken," he said.
"And you better not either. Pinky promise."
I offered him my pinky, and we shook on it.
Christy Turnduck. She did kiss nice. She taught me everything I know. I wonder what ever happened to her.
I wondered if Turducken had been a better kisser than me, too. She must have been. If she had taught Jeremiah. We stalled out again. "This sucks. I quit."
"There's no quitting in driving," Jeremiah ordered. "Come on."
I sighed and started the car up again. 2 hours later, I had it. Sort of. I still stalled out, but I was getting somewhere. I was driving. Jeremiah said I was a natural. By the time we got back to the house, it was after 4 and Steven had left. I guessed he'd gotten tired of waiting and had gone to the driving range by himself. My mother and Susanna were watching old movies in Susanna's room. It was dark, and they had the curtains drawn. I stood outside their door a minute, listening to them laugh. I felt left out. I envied their relationship. They were exactly like co-pilots, in perfect balance. I didn't have that kind of friendship, the forever kind of friendship that will last your whole life through, no matter what. I walked into the room, and Susanna said, "Belly, come watch movies with us." I crawled into bed in between the two of them. Lying on the bed, in the semi-dark, it felt cozy, like we were in a cave. "Jeremiah's been teaching me how to drive," I told them.
"Darling boy,"
Susanna said, smiling faintly.
"Brave, too," my mother said. She tweaked my nose.
I snuggled under the comforter. He was pretty great. It had been nice of him to take me out driving when no one else would.
Just because I banged up the car a few times, it didn't mean that I wasn't going to end up being an excellent driver, like everyone else. Thanks to him, I could drive stick now. I was going to be one of those confident girls, the kind who knows what she's doing. When I got my license, I would drive up to Susanna's house and take Jeremiah for a drive to thank him. Chapter 18. Age 14. After Taylor got out of the shower, she started rummaging through her duffel bag, and I lay on my bed and watched her. She pulled out three different sundresses, one white eyelet, one Hawaiian print, and one black linen. "Which one should I wear tonight?" she asked me. She asked the question like it was a test. I was tired of her tests and having to prove myself all the time. I said, "We're just eating dinner, Taylor. We're not going anywhere special." She shook her head at me, and the towel on her head bounced back and forth. "We're going to the boardwalk tonight, though, remember? We have to look cute for that. There'll be boys there. Let me pick out your outfit, okay?" It used to be that when Taylor picked out my clothes, I felt like the nerdy girl transformed at the prom. In a good way. Now it felt like I was her clueless mom who didn't know how to dress right. I hadn't brought any dresses with me. In fact, I never had. I never even thought to. I only had two dresses at home. One my grandmother bought me for Easter, and one I had to buy for 8th grade graduation. Nothing seemed to fit me right lately. Things were either too long in the crotch or too tight in the waist. I had never thought much about dresses, but looking at hers, all laid out on the bed like that, I was jealous. "I'm not getting dressed up for the boardwalk," I told her. "Let me just see what you have," she said, walking over to my closet. "Taylor, I said no. This is what I'm wearing." I gestured at my cutoff shorts and cousin's beach t-shirt. Taylor made a face, but she backed away from my closet and went back to her three sundresses. "Fine. Have it your way, grumpy. Now, which one should I wear?" I sighed. "The black one," I said, closing my eyes. "Now hurry up and put some clothes on." Dinner that night was scallops and asparagus. When my mother cooked, it was always some sort of seafood with lemon and olive oil and a vegetable. Every time. Susanna only cooked every once in a while. So besides the first night, which was always bouillabaisse, you never knew what you were going to get. She might spend the whole afternoon puttering around the kitchen, making something I'd never had before, like Moroccan chicken with figs. She'd pull out her spiral-bound junior league cookbook that had buttery pages and notes in the margins. The one my mother made fun of. Or she might make American cheese omelets with ketchup and toast. Us kids were supposedly in charge of one night a week, too. And that usually meant hamburgers or frozen pizza. But most nights, we ate whatever we wanted, whenever we felt like eating. I loved that about the summer house. At home, we had dinner every night at 6:30, like clockwork. Here, it was like everything just kind of relaxed, even my mother. Taylor leaned forward and said, "Laurel, what's the craziest thing you and Susanna did when you were our age?" Taylor talked to people like she was at a slumber party, always. Adults, boys, the cafeteria lady, everyone. My mother and Susanna looked at each other and smiled. They knew, but they weren't telling. My mother wiped her mouth with her napkin and said, "We snuck onto the golf course one night and planted daisies." I knew that wasn't the truth, but Stephen and Jeremiah laughed. Stephen said in his annoying, know-it-all kind of way, "You guys were boring even when you were teenagers." "I think it's really sweet," Taylor said, squirting a glob of ketchup onto her plate. Taylor ate everything with ketchup. Eggs, pizza, pasta, everything. Conrad, who I thought hadn't even been listening, said, "You guys are lying."
That wasn't the craziest thing you ever did.
Susanna put her hands up like, I surrender.
Mothers get to have secrets too, she said.
I don't ask you boys about your secrets now, do I?
Yes, you do, said Jeremiah. He pointed his fork at her. You ask all the time. If I had a journal, you would read it.
No, I wouldn't, she protested.
My mother said, yes, you would.
Susanna glared at my mother.
I would never.
Then she looked at Conrad and Jeremiah sitting next to each other.
Fine, I might, but only Conrad's.
He's so good at keeping everything locked inside. I never know what he's thinking.
But not you, Jeremiah. You, my baby boy, wear your heart right here.
She reached over and touched his sweatshirt sleeve.
No, I don't, he protested, stabbing a scallop on his plate. I have secrets.
That's when Taylor said, sure you do, Jeremy, in this really sickeningly flirtatious way. He grinned at her, which made me want to choke on my asparagus. That's when I said, Taylor and I are going to the boardwalk tonight. Will one of you guys drop us off? Before my mother or Susanna could answer, Jeremiah said, ooh, the boardwalk. I think we should go to the boardwalk, too. Turning to Conrad and Stephen, he added, right, guys? Normally, I would have been thrilled that any of them wanted to go somewhere I was going, but not this time. I knew it wasn't for me. I looked at Taylor, who was suddenly busy cutting up her scallops into tiny, bite-sized pieces. She knew it was for her, too.
The boardwalk sucks, said Stephen.
Conrad said, not interested. Who invited you guys anyway? I said. Stephen rolled his eyes.
No one invites anyone to the boardwalk. You just go. It's a free country.
Is it a free country? My mother mused. I want you to really think about that statement, Stephen. What about our civil liberties? Are we really free if...
Laurel, please.
Susanna said, shaking her head.
Let's not talk politics at the dinner table.
I don't know of a better time for political discourse, my mother said calmly. Then she looked at me. I mouthed, please stop. And she sighed. It was better to stop her right away before she really got going.
Okay, fine.
Fine. No more politics. I'm going to the bookstore downtown. I'll drop you guys off on the way.
Thanks, Mom, I said. It'll be just Taylor and me.
Jeremiah ignored me and turned to Stephen and Conrad.
Come on, guys, he said. It'll be amazing.
Taylor had been calling everything amazing all day.
Fine, but I'm going to the arcade, said Stephen.
Con?
Jeremiah looked at Conrad, who shook his head.
Come on, Con, Taylor said, poking at him with her fork. Come with us.
He shook his head, and Taylor made a face.
Fine.
We'll be sure to have lots of fun without you. Jeremiah said,
don't worry about him. He's going to have lots of fun here, reading the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Conrad ignored this, but Taylor giggled and tucked her hair behind her ears. Which is when I knew that she liked Jeremiah now. Then Susanna said,
don't leave without some money for ice cream.
I could tell she was happy we were all hanging out, except for Conrad, who seemed to prefer hanging out by himself this summer. Nothing made Susanna happier than thinking up activities for us kids to do. I think that she would have made a really good camp director. In the car, we waited for my mother and the boys to come out, and I whispered, I thought you liked Conrad. Taylor rolled her eyes.
Blah, he's boring. I think I'll like Jeremy instead. His name is Jeremiah, I said sourly.
I know that. Then she looked at me, and her eyes widened.
Why, do you like him now?
No! She let out an impatient breath of air.
Belly, you've got to pick one. You can't have them both.
I know that, I snapped. And for your information, I don't want either of them. It's not like they look at me like that anyway. They look at me like Steven does. Like a little sister. Taylor tugged at my t-shirt collar. Well, maybe if you showed a little cleave. I shrugged her hand away. I'm not showing any cleave, and I told you I don't like either of them. Not anymore. So you don't care that I'm going after Jeremy? She asked. I could tell the only reason she was asking was so she could absolve herself of any future guilt. Not that she would even feel guilty. So I said, if I told you I cared, would you stop? She thought for, like, a second. Probably. If you really, really cared. But then I would just go after Conrad. I'm here to have fun, Belly. I sighed. At least she was honest. I wanted to say, I thought you were here to have fun with me. But I didn't. Go after him, I told her. I don't care. Taylor wiggled her eyebrows at me, her old trademark move. Yay! It is so on. Wait! I grabbed her wrist. Promise me you'll be nice to him. Of course I'll be nice. I'm always nice. She patted me on the shoulder. You're such a worrier, Belly. I told you, I just want to have fun. That's when my mother and the boys came out. And for the first time, there was no fight over shotgun. Jeremiah gave it over to Steven easily. When we got to the boardwalk, Steven headed straight for the arcade and spent the whole night there. Jeremiah walked around with us, and he even rode the carousel, even though I knew he thought it was lame. He got all stretched out on the sleigh and pretended to take a nap while Taylor and I bounced up and down on horses, mine a blonde palomino and hers a black stallion. Black Beauty was still her favorite book, although she'd never admit it. Then Taylor made him win her a stuffed Tweety Bird with the quarter toss. Jeremiah was a pro at the quarter toss. The Tweety Bird was huge, almost as tall as she was. He carried it for her. I should never have gone along. I could have predicted the whole night, right down to how invisible I'd feel. All the time I wished I was at home, listening to Conrad play the guitar through my bedroom wall, or watching Woody Allen movies with Susanna and my mother. And I didn't even like Woody Allen. I wondered if this was how the rest of the week was going to be. I'd forgotten that about Taylor. The way she got when she wanted something. Driven, single-minded, and determined as all get out. She'd just arrived, and already she'd forgotten about me. Chapter 19. We'd only just gotten there, and it was already time for Steven to go. He and our dad were going on their college road trip, and instead of coming back to cousins after, he was going home. Supposedly to start studying for the SATs, but more likely to hang out with his new girlfriend. I went to his room to watch him pack up. He hadn't brought much, just a duffel bag. I was suddenly sad to see him leave. Without Steven, everything would be off balance. He was the buffer, the real-life reminder that nothing really changes, that everything can stay the same. Because Steven never changed. He was just obnoxious, insufferable Steven, my big brother, the bane of my existence. He was like our old flannel blanket that smelled like wet dog. Smelly, comforting, a part of the infrastructure that made up my world. And with him there, everything would still be the same. 3 against 1. Boys against girls. I wish you weren't leaving, I said, tucking my knees into my chest. I'll see you in a month, he reminded me. A month and a half, I corrected him sullenly. You're missing my birthday, you know. I'll give you your present when I see you at home. Not the same. and knew I was being a baby, but I couldn't help it. Will you at least send me a postcard? Stephen zipped up his duffel bag.
I doubt I'll have time.
I'll send you a text, though. Will you bring me back a Princeton sweatshirt? I couldn't wait to wear a college sweatshirt. They were like a badge that said you were mature, practically college age, if not already. I wished I had a whole drawer full of them.
If I remember, he said.
I'll remind you, I said. I'll text you.
Okay. It'll be your birthday present.
Deal. I fell back onto his bed and pushed my feet up against his wall. He hated it when I did that. I'll probably miss you. A little bit.
You'll be too busy drooling over Conrad to notice I'm gone,
Stephen said. I stuck my tongue out at him. Stephen left really early the next morning. Conrad and Jeremiah were going to drive him to the airport. I went down to say goodbye, but I didn't try to go along because I knew he wouldn't want me to. He wanted some time, just them, and for once, I was going to let him have it without a fight. When he hugged me goodbye, he gave me his trademark condescending look, sad eyes and a half grimace, and said,
"Don't do anything stupid, all right?"
He said it in this really meaningful way, like he was trying to tell me something important, like I was supposed to understand. But I didn't. I said, "Don't you do anything stupid either, butthead." He sighed and shook his head at me like I was a child. I tried not to let it bother me. After all, he was leaving, and things wouldn't be the same without him. At the very least, I could send him off without getting into a petty argument. "Tell Dad I said hi," I said. I didn't go back to bed right away. I stayed on the front porch a while, feeling blue and a little teary. Not that I would ever admit it to Stephen. In a lot of ways, it was like the last summer. That fall, Conrad would start college. He was going to Brown. He might not come back next summer. He might have an internship or summer school, or he might backpack across Europe with all his new dorm buddies. And Jeremiah, he might go to the football camp he was always talking about. There were a lot of things that could happen between now and then. It occurred to me that I was going to have to make the most of this summer, really make it count, in case there wasn't another one quite like it. After all, I would be 16 soon. I was getting older, too. Things couldn't stay the same forever. Chapter 20. Age 11. The four of us were lying on a big blanket in the sand. Conrad, Stephen, Jeremiah, and then me on the edge. That was my spot. When they let me come along, this was one of those rare days. It was already mid-afternoon. So hot my hair felt like it was on fire, and they were playing cards while I listened in. Jeremiah said, "Would you rather be boiled in olive oil or skinned alive with a burning hot butter knife?"
"Olive oil," said Conrad confidently. "It's over quicker."
"Olive oil," I echoed.
"Butter knife," said Stephen. "There's more of a chance I could turn the tables on the guy and skin him."
"That wasn't an option," Conrad told him. "It's a question about death, not turning the tables on somebody." "Fine. Olive oil," Stephen said grumpily. "What about you, Jeremiah?"
"Olive oil," Jeremiah said. "Now you go, Con."
Conrad squinted his eyes up at the sun and said,
"Would you rather live one perfect day over and over, or live your life with no perfect days, but just decent ones?"
Jeremiah didn't say anything for a minute. He loved this game. He loved to mull over the different possibilities.
"With that one perfect day, would I know I was reliving it? Like Groundhog Day?"
No. Then I'll take the perfect day, he decided.
Well, if the perfect day involves...
Stephen began. But then he looked over at me and stopped speaking, which I hated.
I'll take the perfect day, too.
Belly?
Conrad looked at me.
What would you pick?
My mind raced around in circles as I tried to find the right answer. I'd take living my life with decent days. That way I could still hope for that one perfect day, I said. I wouldn't want to have a life that's just one day. Over and over.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know it, Jeremiah argued.
I shrugged. But you might, deep down.
That's stupid, Stephen said. I don't think it's stupid. I think I agree with her.
Conrad gave me this look, the kind of look I bet soldiers give each other when they're teaming up against somebody else. It was like we were in it together. I gave Stephen a little shimmy. I couldn't help myself. See, I said, Conrad agrees with me. Stephen mimicked,
Conrad agrees with me. Conrad loves me. Conrad's awesome.
Shut up, Stephen, I yelled. He grinned and said,
My turn to ask a question.
Belly, would you rather eat mayonnaise every day or be flat-chested for the rest of your life? I turned on my side, grabbed a handful of sand, and threw it at Stephen. He was in the middle of laughing, and a bunch got in his mouth and stuck to his wet cheeks. He screamed, You're dead, Belly! Then he lunged at me, and I rolled away from him. Leave me alone, I said defiantly. You can't hurt me, or I'll tell Mom.
You're such a pain in the ass, he spat out, grabbing my leg roughly. I'm throwing you in the water.
I tried to shake him off, but I only succeeded in kicking more sand into his face, which, of course, only made him madder. Conrad said,
Leave her alone, Stephen. Let's go swim.
Yeah, come on, said Jeremiah.
Stephen hesitated.
Fine,
he said, spitting out sand.
But you're still dead, Belly.
He pointed at me and then made a cutting motion with his finger. I gave him the finger and flipped over, but inside I was shaking. Conrad had defended me. Conrad cared whether or not I was dead. Stephen was mad at me the whole rest of the day, but it was worth it. It was also ironic, Stephen teasing me about being flat-chested, because 2 summers later, I had to wear a bra. But, like, for real. Chapter 21 The night Stephen left, I headed down to the pool for one of my midnight swims. And Conrad and Jeremiah and this neighbor guy, Clay Bertolette, were sitting on the lounge chairs drinking beer. Clay lived way down the street, and he'd been coming to Cousins Beach for almost as long as we had. He was a year older than Conrad. No one had even liked him much. He was just a person to hang out with, I guess. Right away I stiffened and held my beach towel closer to my chest. I wondered if I should turn back. Clay had always made me nervous. I didn't have to swim that night. I could do it the next night. But no, I had as much right to be out there as they did. More, even. I walked over to them, pretend confident. Hey, guys, I said. I didn't let go of my towel. It felt funny to be standing there in a towel and a bikini, when they were all wearing clothes. Clay looked up at me, his eyes narrow.
Hey, Belly. Long time no see.
He patted the lounge chair. Sit down. I hated when people said, long time no see. It was such a dumb way to say hello, but I sat down anyway. He leaned in and gave me a hug. He smelled like beer. And polo sport.
So, how've you been?
he asked. Before I could answer, Conrad said, "She's fine, and now it's time for bed. Good night, Billy." I tried not to sound like a 5-year-old when I said, "I'm not going to sleep yet. I'm swimming."
"You should head back up," Jeremiah said, putting his beer down. "Your mom will kill you for drinking."
"Hello, I'm not drinking," I reminded him. Clay offered me his Corona.
"Here," he said, winking.
He seemed drunk. I hesitated, and Conrad snapped irritably.
"Don't give her that. She's a kid, for God's sake."
I glared at him. "Quit acting like Steven." For a second or two, I considered taking Clay's beer. It would be my first. But then I'd only be doing it to spite Conrad, and I wasn't going to let him control what I did. "No thanks," I told him. Conrad nodded imperceptibly.
"Now go back to bed like a good girl."
It felt just like when he and Steven and Jeremiah used to leave me out of things on purpose. I could feel my cheeks burning as I said, "I'm only 2 years younger than you."
2 1/4, he corrected automatically.
Clay laughed, and I could smell his yeasty breath.
"Shit, my girlfriend was 15.
Then he looked at me.
"Ex-girlfriend."
I smiled weakly. Inside, I was shrinking away from him and his breath. But the way Conrad was watching us, well, I liked it. I liked taking his friend away from him, even if it was just for 5 minutes. "Isn't that, like, illegal?" I asked Clay. He laughed again.
"You're cute, Billy."
I could feel myself blush. "So, why did you break up?" I asked, like I didn't already know. "They broke up because Clay's a jerk?" That was why. Clay had always been a jerk. He used to try to feed the seagulls Alka-Seltzer because he heard it made their stomachs blow up. Clay scratched the back of his neck.
"I don't know. She had to go to horse camp or something. Long-distance relationships are BS.
"But it would just be for the summer," I protested. "It's dumb to break up over a summer." I'd nursed a crush on Conrad for whole school years. I could survive for months, years, on a crush. It was like food. It could sustain me. If Conrad was mine, there was no way I'd break up with him over a summer, or a school year, for that matter. Clay looked at me with his heavy-lidded, sleepy eyes and said,
"Do you have a boyfriend?"
"Yes," I said, and I couldn't help myself. I looked at Conrad when I said it. "See," I was saying, "I'm not a stupid 12-year-old girl with a crush anymore. I'm a real person. With an actual boyfriend. Who cared if it wasn't true?" Conrad's eyes flickered, but his face was the same. Expressionless. Jeremiah, though, he looked surprised.
"Billy, you have a boyfriend?"
He frowned.
"You never mentioned him."
"It's not that serious." I picked at an unraveling thread on the seat cushion. I was already regretting making it up. In fact, we're really, really casual.
"See? Then what's the point of a relationship during summer? What if you meet people?"
Clay winked at me in a jokey way.
"Like right now."
"We've already met, Clay, like 10 years ago." Not that he'd ever actually paid me any attention. He nudged me with his knee.
"Nice to meet you. I'm Clay."
I laughed, even though it wasn't funny. It just felt like the right thing to do. "Hi, I'm Billy."
"So, Billy, are you gonna come to my bonfire tomorrow night?"
he asked me. Sure, I said, trying not to sound too excited. Conrad and Steven and Jeremiah went to the big 4th of July bonfire every year. Clay had it at his house because there were a ton of fireworks on that end of the beach. His mom always put out stuff for s'mores. I once made Jeremiah bring one back for me, and he did. It was rubbery and burnt, but I still ate it, and I was still grateful to Jeremiah for it. It was like a little piece of the party. They never let me go with them, and I never tried to make them.
I watched the show from our back porch, in my pajamas, with Susanna and my mother. They drank champagne, and I drank Martinelli's sparkling cider.
I thought you came down here to swim,
Conrad said abruptly.
Geez, give her a break, Con, Jeremiah said. If she wants to swim, she'll swim.
We exchanged a look. Our look that meant, why is Conrad such a freaking dad? Conrad flicked his cigarette into his half-empty can.
Do what you want, he said.
I will, I said, sticking my tongue out at Conrad and standing up. I threw off my towel and dove into the water, a perfect swan dive. I stayed underwater for a minute. Then I started doing the backstroke so I could eavesdrop on their conversation. In a low voice, I heard Clay say,
Man, Cousins is starting to get old. I want to hurry up and get back.
Yeah, me too, Conrad said.
So Conrad was ready to leave. Even though a little part of me knew that already, it still hurt. I wanted to say, then leave already. If you don't want to be here, don't be here, just leave. But I wasn't going to let Conrad bother me. Not when things were finally looking up. At last, I was invited to Clay Bertolette's 4th of July bonfire. I was one of the big kids now. Life was good. Or it was getting there, anyway. I thought about what I was going to wear all day. Since I'd never been, I had no idea what to wear. Probably it would get cold, but who wanted to bundle up at a bonfire? Not for my first one. I also didn't want Conrad and Jeremiah to give me a hard time if I was too dressed up. I figured shorts, a tank top, and no shoes were the safe way to go. When we got there, I saw that I had chosen wrong. The other girls were wearing sundresses and little skirts and Uggs. If I'd had girlfriends at Cousins, I might have known that.
You didn't tell me that girls got dressed up, I hissed at Jeremiah.
You look fine. Don't be dumb, he said, walking straight over to the keg.
There was a keg.
There were no graham crackers or marshmallows anywhere I could see. I'd actually never seen a keg before in real life. Just in movies. I started to follow him, but Conrad grabbed my arm.
Don't drink tonight, he warned. My mom will kill me if I let you drink.
I shook him off. You're not letting me do anything.
Come on, please.
We'll see, I said, walking away from him and toward the fire. I wasn't sure if I even wanted to drink. Even though I'd seen Clay drinking the night before, I'd still been expecting s'mores. Going to the bonfire was nice in theory, but actually being there was something else. Jeremiah was chatting up some girl in a red, white, and blue bikini top and a jean skirt, and Conrad was talking to Clay and some other guys I didn't recognize. I thought after the way Clay had been flirty last night, he might at least come over to say hi. But he didn't. He had his hand on some girl's back. I stood by the fire alone and pretended to warm my hands even though they weren't cold. That's when I saw him. He was standing alone, too, drinking a bottle of water. It didn't seem like he knew anybody either, since he was standing all by himself. He looked like he was my age. But there was something about him that seemed safe and comfortable. Like he was younger than me, even though he wasn't. It took me a few glances to figure out what it was. When I finally figured it out, it was like, aha! It was his eyelashes. They were so long they practically hit his cheekbones. Granted, his cheekbones were high, but still. Also, he had a slight underbite, and his skin was clear and smooth, the color of toasted coconut flakes, the kind you put on ice cream. I touched my cheek and felt relieved that the sun had dried out the pimple from 2 days before. His skin was perfect,
to my eyes. Everything about him was pretty perfect. He was tall, taller than Stephen or Jeremiah, maybe even Conrad. He looked like he was maybe half white, half Japanese, or Korean, maybe. He was so pretty, I felt like I could draw his face, and I didn't even know how to draw. He caught me looking at him, and I looked away. Then I looked back over, and he caught me again. He raised his hand and waved it. Just slightly. I could feel my cheeks flaming. There was nothing for me to say but, "Hi." I walked over, stuck out my hand, and immediately regretted it. Who shook hands anymore? He took my hand and shook it. He didn't say anything at first. He just stared at me like he was trying to figure something out.
"You look familiar," he said at last.
I tried not to smile. Wasn't that what boys said to girls when they came onto them at bars? I wondered if he'd seen me on the beach in my new polka dot bikini. I'd only had the nerve to wear it the one time, but maybe that was what had gotten me noticed by this guy.
"Maybe you've seen me on the beach?"
He shook his head.
"No, that's not it."
So it hadn't been the bikini then. I tried again. "Maybe over at Scoops, the ice cream place?"
"No, that's not it either," he said.
Then it was like the little light went on in his head, because he grinned suddenly. "Did you take Latin? What in the world? Yes?
Did you ever go to Latin convention in Washington, D.C.?"
he asked. "Yes," I said. "Who was this boy anyway?" He nodded, satisfied.
"So did I. In eighth grade, right?"
"Yeah." In eighth grade, I had a retainer and I still wore glasses. I hated that he knew me from back then. Why couldn't he know me from now, in my polka dot bikini? "That's how I know you. I've been standing here trying to figure it out." He grinned. "I'm Cam, but my Latin name was Sextus. Salve." Suddenly giggles rose up in my chest like soda bubbles. It was kind of funny. "Salve. I'm Flavia. I mean, Belly. I mean, my name is Isabel, but everyone calls me Belly."
"Why?"
He looked at me like he really wondered why. "It's my dad's nickname for me from when I was little. He thought Isabel was too long a name," I explained. "Everyone just still calls me that. It's dumb." He ignored the last part and said, "Why not Izzy then? Or Bell?" "I don't know. It's partly because Jelly Bellies are my favorite, and my dad and I used to play this game. He'd ask me what kind of mood I was in, but I would answer him in Jelly Belly flavors, like plum if I was in a good mood." My voice trailed off. I babbled when I was nervous, and I was definitely nervous. I'd always hated the name Belly, partly because it wasn't even a real name. It was a child's nickname, not a real name at all. Isabel, on the other hand, was the name of an exotic kind of girl. The kind of girl who went to places like Morocco and Mozambique, who wore red nail polish year-round and had dark bangs. Belly was the kind of name that conjured up images of plump children or men in wife beaters. Anyway, I hate the name Izzy, but I do wish people called me Belle. It's prettier. He nodded. "That's what it means, too. Beautiful." "I know," I said. "I'm in AP French." Cam said something in French so fast I couldn't understand him. "What?" I said. I felt stupid. It's embarrassing to speak French when it's not in a classroom. It's like, conjugating verbs is one thing, but actually speaking it to an actual French person is a whole different thing. "My grandmother's French," he said. "I grew up speaking it." "Oh." Now I felt stupid for bragging about being in AP French. "You know, the V is supposed to be pronounced W."
"What?"
"In Flavia, It's supposed to be pronounced Fla-wea.
Of course I know that, I snapped. I took second prize in oration. But Fla-wea sounds dumb.
I took first prize, he said, trying not to sound smug.
I had a sudden memory of a boy in a black t-shirt and a striped tie, blowing everyone away with his catalyst speech, taking first place. It was him.
Why did you pick it if you thought it sounded dumb?
I sighed. Because Cornelia was taken, everyone wanted to be Cornelia.
Yeah, everyone wanted to be Sextus, too.
Why? I said. Immediately, I regretted it. Oh, never mind. Cam laughed.
Eighth-grade boy humor isn't very developed.
I laughed, too. Then I said, so do you stay in a house around here?
We're renting the house 2 blocks down. My mom sort of made me come,
Cam said, rubbing the top of his head self-consciously.
Oh.
I wished I would stop saying, oh, but I couldn't think of anything else.
What about you? Why'd you come, Isabel?
I was startled when he used my real name. It just rolled right off his tongue. It felt like the first day of school, but I liked it. I don't know, I said. I guess because Clay invited me. Everything that came out of my mouth sounded so generic. For some reason, I wanted to impress this boy. I wanted him to like me. I could feel him judging me, judging the dumb things I said. I'm smart, too, I wanted to tell him. I told myself it was fine. It didn't matter if he thought I was smart or not. But it did.
I think I'm going to leave soon, he said, finishing his water.
He didn't look at me when he said,
do you need a ride?
No, I said. I tried to swallow my disappointment that he was leaving already. I came with those guys over there. I pointed at Conrad and Jeremiah.
He nodded. I figured. The way your brother kept looking over here?
I almost choked. My brother?
Who?
Him? I pointed at Conrad. He wasn't looking at us. He was looking at a blonde girl in a Red Sox cap. And she was looking right back. He was laughing. And he never laughed.
Yeah.
He's not my brother. He tries to act like he is, but he's not, I said. He thinks he's everybody's big brother. It's so patronizing. Why are you leaving already anyway? You're gonna miss the fireworks. He cleared his throat like he was embarrassed.
I was actually gonna go home and study.
Latin? I covered my mouth with my hand to keep from giggling.
No, I'm studying whales. I want to intern on a whale-watching boat, and I have to take this whaling exam next month,
he said, rubbing the top of his head again. Oh, that's cool, I said. I wished he wasn't leaving already. I didn't want him to go. He was nice. Standing next to him, I felt like Thumbelina, little and precious. He was that tall. If he left, I'd be all alone. You know what? Maybe I will get a ride. Wait here. I'll be right back. I hurried over to Conrad, walking so fast I kicked up sand behind me. Hey, I'm gonna get a ride, I said breathlessly. The blonde Red Sox girl looked me up and down. Hello, she said. Conrad said, with who? I pointed at Cam. Him.
You're not riding with someone you don't even know, he said flatly.
I do so know him. He's Sextus. He narrowed his eyes.
Sex what?
Never mind. His name is Cam. He's studying whales, and you don't get to decide who I ride home with. I was just letting you know as a courtesy. I wasn't asking for your permission. I started to walk away, but he grabbed my elbow.
I don't care what he's studying. It's not gonna happen, he said casually,
but his grip was tight.
If you want to go, I'll take you.
I took a deep breath. I had to keep cool. I wasn't going to let him goad me into being a baby, not in front of all these people. No thanks, I said, trying to walk away again. But he didn't let go.
I thought you already had a boyfriend.
His tone was mocking, and I knew he'd seen through my lie the night before. I wanted so badly to throw a handful of sand in his face. I tried to twist out of his grip. Let go of me! That hurts! He let go immediately. His face red. It didn't really hurt, but I wanted to embarrass him, the way he was embarrassing me. I said loudly, I'd rather ride with a stranger than with someone who's been drinking. I've had one beer, he snapped. I weigh 175 pounds. Wait half an hour and I'll take you. Stop being such a brat. I could feel tears starting to spark my eyelids. I looked over my shoulder to see if Cam was watching. He was. You're an asshole, I said. He looked me dead in the eyes and said, and you're a 4-year-old. As I walked away, I heard the girl ask, is she your girlfriend? I whirled around and we both said, no, at the same time. Confused, she said, well, is she your little sister? Like I wasn't standing right there. Her perfume was heavy. It felt like it filled all the air around us, like we were breathing her in. No, I'm not his little sister. I hated this girl for being a witness to all this. It was humiliating. And she was pretty, in the same kind of way Taylor was pretty, which somehow made things worse. Conrad said, her mom is best friends with my mom. So that was all I was to him? His mom's friend's daughter? I took a deep breath, and without even thinking, I said to the girl, I've known Conrad my whole life, so let me be the one to tell you you're barking up the wrong tree. Conrad will never love anyone as much as he loves himself, if you know what I mean. I lifted up my hand and wiggled my fingers. Shut up, Belly, Conrad warned. The tops of his ears were turning bright red. It was a low blow, but I didn't care. He deserved it. Red Sox girl frowned. What is she talking about, Conrad? To her, I blurted out. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you not know what the idiom barking up the wrong tree means? Her pretty face twisted. You little skank, she hissed. I could feel myself shrinking. I wished I could take it back. I'd never gotten into a fight with a girl before. Or with anyone, for that matter. Thankfully, Conrad broke in then and pointed to the bonfire. Belly, go back over there and wait for me to come get you, he said harshly. That's when Jeremiah ambled over. Hey, what's going on? He asked, smiling in his easy, goofy way. Your brother is a jerk, I said. That's what's going on. Jeremiah put his arm around me. He smelled like beer. You guys play nice, you hear? I shrugged out of his hold and said, I am playing nice. Tell your brother to play nice. Wait, are you guys brother and sister too? The girl asked. Conrad said, don't even think about leaving with that guy. Con, chill out, Jeremiah said. She's not leaving. Right, Belly? He looked at me, and I pursed my lips and nodded. Then I gave Conrad the dirtiest look I could muster, and I shot one at the girl, too, when I was far enough away that she wouldn't be able to reach out and grab me by the hair. I walked back to the bonfire, trying to keep my shoulders straight and high, when inside I felt like a kid who'd gotten yelled at her own birthday party. It wasn't fair to be treated like I was a kid when I wasn't. I bet me and that girl were the same age. Cam said, what was that all about? I was choking back tears as I said, let's just go. He hesitated, glancing back over at Conrad. I don't think that's such a good idea, Flavia, but I'll stay here with you and hang out for a while. The whales can wait. I wanted to kiss him then. I wanted to forget I ever knew Conrad and just be there. Existing in the bubble of that moment. The first firework went off, somewhere high above us.
It sounded like a tea kettle